Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My friends, the Bible clearly teaches that you can be an active participant in the miracle of generosity. When does that happen? How does that happen? Will it happen when the government comes up with a piece of legislation that spurs people towards generosity? Will it happen when the Democrats gather together like they did last week for their convention, coming together to have a piece of legislation that will spur people to give to others? Will it happen when the Republicans gather this week to come up with a platform that will have some legislation that will spur on people across our country towards greater acts of generosity? Now, there's probably quite a few of you that are banking on some sort of legislation that will push us towards a miracle of generosity that will change things for our country. Well, the truth is, there was a piece of legislation that did exactly this. It's detailed in the Old Testament. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 15. The piece of legislation, I'm just going to call it was called the Year of Jubilee. Now, the way this worked, this piece of legislation, and it included pretty much everyone in the land of Israel, the way that it worked was this. If a person owed money to any other person, their debt was forgiven on the seventh year, the year of Jubilee. Further, if a person lost property or forfeited property or had property damaged, on the 50th year, all their property was returned to them. Now that sounds like a strange piece of legislation. That's really how it went. No application fees. No inquiries about your credit history, no fine print. This just happened every 7 years or every 50 years. A miracle of generosity, all because a piece of legislation, a piece of law. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Yet here we are in the year 2020, and that piece of legislation really isn't in play all that much, is it? I mean, think about it, if this would work. If you walk down to the Oregon State Federal Credit Union or to Citizens Bank or a bank in your local community, and you walked in and you told the person working at the bank this, "Hey, my friend, I'm on the sixth year of my loan, and according to Deuteronomy chapter 15, next year, you've got to forgive this entire loan." You understand that that wouldn't work. At least I hope you do. That person would not only think that you were kind of off your rocker, but they might even call the security guards. You're definitely not getting the free cookie by the door as you're exited out the bank. No, you see, that just wouldn't work. Many of us are waiting for a piece of legislation, a piece of paper that might be passed, or a piece of legislation that might be developed in one political party or the other. But my friends, the miracle of generosity does not come through a piece of legislation. It comes from another location. But the Bible definitely says that you can be a participant in the miracle of generosity. How? And when? Well, you might be thinking that the answer is that Jesus will perform some kind of miracle and make it happen. Jesus is always the answer, right? He's always the answer for those children's messages. And I actually think as we take a look at our text here this morning from Mark chapter 6 and the feeding of the 5,000, I think the disciples actually thought this. They thought that Jesus, if they sat back and just watched, Jesus would perform the miracle of generosity and they could just watch it happen. Here's the background to our text. The disciples are with Jesus. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And they are discussing with him all the things that they have done and all the things that they have taught. You see, about 2 days before this moment, Jesus sent them out to cure others, to heal others. He gave them the van to the church ministry, to the van of the church ministry to go out and do what they should be doing. Except Jesus didn't go with them. See, they've returned here in Mark chapter 6, verses 30. And at this moment, they're telling Jesus of all the great things that they have done. And at this time, a large crowd also comes around them. They surround Jesus. And so at this moment, these disciples and Jesus decide to go to the other side of the lake by boat. Except when they get to the other side, there's perhaps an even larger crowd. 5,000 people. Disciples continue to tell Jesus about what they've done. They're excited. They're giddy. Except there isn't any food available. People are hungry. They don't know what to do. And it's at this moment that the disciples, I believe, think that a miracle of generosity happens by sitting back and letting Jesus take over. Jesus will somehow perform the miracle. He'll wave his wand and all of a sudden 5,000 people will be fed. That's not how this miracle happens. We too can think, in the times that we're living, that what we need to do is just sit back and passively do nothing and just wait for Jesus to perform some sort of miracle, that Jesus will take care of the poor, that Jesus will heal the sick, that Jesus will provide the needs for those that are hurting. That is not Christianity, however. Again, the Bible teaches that you can be a participant in a miracle of generosity. But how and where and when does that happen? My friends, it happens in your hands and in your heart. The feeding of the 5,000 certainly tells us that Jesus performs the miracle. I'm not saying we perform the miracle. I'm just saying where that miracle happens. It happens in our hands and in our hearts. Imagine you were one of the 5,000 people there that day in which Jesus fed everyone. Actually, let's make it more specific. Imagine you were the individual who was asked by Jesus, how many loaves are there of bread and how many fish? And you go and discover that there are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You then look out and see the vast amount of people and you understand that it'll cost about $30,000 in today's money. You then go down quietly to the lake where no one can see you and you make a fillet of fish sandwich. Then you come back and report to Jesus, we have 4 loaves of bread and 1 fish. That's not what happened. The person that went out saw what was out there, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he passed it on to Jesus. And all of a sudden, it became more, and a miracle happened. Or imagine that you were one of the 5,000 people there, and a little chunk of bread came your way, and a little bit of fish as well. And then you paused for a moment and you saw that in your group of 50, there were 45 others down the row. You quietly consider stuffing that one little piece of bread in your cheek and then maybe sneaking another chunk of the bread before passing it to the next person. That's not what the text says. The 5,000 simply took the bread, took the fish, took what they needed, and passed it on to others, and it became more. A miracle. See, the miracle of generosity happens in our hands, in our hearts. Jesus performs the miracle, and he uses the Holy Spirit, but he uses our hands, my friends. Now, this last week, this is going to sound strange, but this last week, a miracle happened in the church council meeting at Peace Lutheran Church. I know what you're thinking. Miracles can't happen in meetings, let alone church council meetings. I get it. But here's what happened. The treasurer report came in to the meeting that was happening via Zoom. It was passed around to all the members of the council, and quietly it was reported that Peace Lutheran Church contributed to its mission partners. Now, some of those mission partners over the last 6 months that we've been supporting are these: Friends of the Family Ministry, that offers counseling and support for people in Benton County, Christian counseling, Christian support. Also, the Northwest District of the Missouri Synod, as well as Love, Inc. and Camp Lutherwood, and also Luther House. We Care, which is a gap ministry for those who are in need at a specific time and moment. Also, Zion Lutheran School and Philomath Community Services. As that report was given, my friends, a miracle happened. This year, Peace is probably given, I don't have this in exact, but Peace is probably given more away this year than any other year in the midst of a pandemic. And that number also doesn't include the many families in need that were also quietly given funds for support. My friends tuning in, that is not just a number. Do you see what happened? Members of the church recognized that they had bread in their hands, that they had resources that God had blessed them with. They then looked around at the challenging circumstances in their own families or in the community or in the nation, and they could have made a fillet of fish sandwich all by themselves and eaten it. But that's not what you did. You passed it on. And this happened time and time and time again. And the miracle of generosity took place. Again, the miracle of generosity is not going to come by a piece of legislation or a piece of paper or by a political party. The miracle of generosity is not just going to happen in Jesus' hands. Jesus performs the miracle, but he uses your hands. And here's the thing. Even scientists are understanding that generosity actually is, if we're practicing generosity, we are actually at our healthiest. Jordan Grofman is a scientist who studied the effects of giving and receiving and wanted to find out, are people happier when they give or when they receive? Now, you might say to yourself, we're happiest when we receive. We love getting gifts from other people for our birthdays and at Christmas time, of course. Now, the way that he studied this was this. He got about 20 participants, and he set them up in a way to measure the blood flow in their brains as they made choices. And he set up an fMRI machine that measured that blood flow in the blood vessels as the brain was used. As people made decisions, he could check out to see how the blood flowed. The participants were playing a video game, and whenever they did something that was really good, they were given cash rewards and then given a choice if they would rather receive the money or give it to somebody else. The research showed that blood flow activity, the blood vessels were at their highest level of use when people gave. The conclusion of the science experiment was that we are our healthiest and we are true human beings when we give to others. My friends, Christianity is unique. It doesn't say that we're here to simply sit on the sidelines and watch Jesus do it all, or sit back and be cheerleaders and say, "Go, Jesus, you're going to do it." That's not the church's teaching. No, Jesus can do it all himself, trust me. But he wants you as an active, willing participant. Your lips can bless others. Don't wait for Jesus. Your hands can serve others. Don't wait for Jesus. Your way of being and living in peace can demonstrate peace to a world that desperately needs it. Don't wait for Jesus. Rely on his strength. He'll work through you, of course, and he gets all the credit. But he calls you to be an active participant. In fact, isn't this what Jesus says essentially in today's text? He tells his disciples, "You go and get them something to eat." With his strength and his power behind us, we become active participants. Keep up the good work. Keep up the participation in the miracle of generosity. Amen.